The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter number 31, Text number 29, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on October 8th, 2009, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter number 31, Text number 29.
Taigi šiandien skaitant iš Šimat Bhagavatam, tai kitos įsmės, iš pirmo skyriaus, 29 tekstą.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vidura uvacha.
Vidura uvacha.
Soyam adya mahayogin.
Soyam adya mahayogin.
Bhavata karanatmana. Darshitas tamasa paro,
darshitas tamasa paro,
yatra kinchana gohari, vidura uvacha, soyam adya mahayogin, bhavata karanatmana, darshitas tamasa paro, yatra kinchana gohari. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Vidura said, O great mystic, O greatest of all devotees, by your causeless mercy I have been shown the path of liberation from this world of darkness. By following this path, a person liberated from the material world can return home back to Godhead. This material world is called tamo, dark, and the spiritual world is called light. The Vedas enjoin that everyone should try to get out of the darkness and go to the kingdom of light. Information of that kingdom of light can be attained through the mercy of a self-realized soul. One also has to get rid of all material desires. As soon as one frees himself from material desires and associates with a liberated person, the path back home, back to Godhead, is clear. Vande Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So Prabhupada explains that one has to get rid of all material desires. Sometimes we think, well, I'm free of all material desires. But the mind is very, very tricky. Even we may think we're free from material desires. All of a sudden, we become feverish with material desire. So, how to conquer over those lingering desires in the heart? We have to become very, very expert in subduing that tricky mind. By taking shelter of Guru and Krishna. Begging their mercy. As Prabhupada is also pointing out, you can only become delivered from that darkness by the mercy of a self-realized soul. So here Vidura, he has been blessed by Maitreya Muni. By your causeless mercy, I've been shown the path of liberation. So we have to take advantage of the mercy of the self-realized souls. Begging their mercy that this tricky mind, which is like one of those monkeys in Vrindavan. Jumping here, jumping there, stealing bananas. Those monkeys are so mischievous. One day I was leaving from the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. I was feeling very happy. I had a nice little clay pot with Maha Prasada Radharaman. I was so happy. Very nice little clay pots full of Maha Prasada. I was walking out from the temple door down to that passageway, for those of you who have been there know. And all of a sudden, I saw a monkey go. He came by. And I looked in my hand, and the Mahaprasadam was gone. He was so expert pickpocket. I didn't even feel it. I didn't even feel it. The monkey's touching me at all. So expert he was, you see. He made off with all that Radharaman Mahaprasad. And then he jumped up on the roof and he had a nice little Mahaprasad. So you see, our mind is like that monkey. Very tricky. Very sneaky. Just when we thought, now I'm becoming Krishna conscious, you see. And then boom, all these desires, feverish desires come into the heart, you see. So we have to be on guard against that monkey, the mind, you see. And now whenever I go to Radharaman temple, I always keep an eye. There's a monkey here, a monkey there. And I carry a stick also. Monkey stick I have in the monkeys don't mess with me now that I got that stick, see. So we have to take advantage of the stick, which is the mercy of the liberated souls, you see. That is also a stick. We take advantage of that mercy of the liberated souls, you see. Then that monkey mind of material desires, you see. will not dare touch us. But as soon as we become a little slack, you see, we let down our guard, then again that monkey will come and steal our Krishna consciousness away, you see, and leave us with material desires. So always look out for those monkeys, you see. When you're in Vrindavan, always, they even steal your bead bag. One devotee, they even stole the glasses off of his face. What is the monkey going to do with a pair of glasses? It's not his prescription. I mean, if it matched his prescription from an optometrist, maybe it would make sense stealing the glasses. Maybe his heart, he has, maybe the monkey's nearsighted and he needs a pair of glasses. But for no reason, just pure mischievousness. They'll steal your glasses, steal your bead bag. I mean, they don't chant japa. What in the world do they need your bead bag for? But they're just mischievous creatures, you see. So this mind is a similar thing, you see, with my monkey. We have to always have that stick of the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees, you see. So that monkey mind will not steal away our Krishna consciousness. It's very nicely explained here how the material world is dark and the spiritual world is light. And this connection there is Vedic conjunction. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Do not remain in the darkness. Come to the light. It's like you come into the room. It's a dark room. So what do? You go to the light switch and you flip on the light. So we have light switch. Prabhupada has given us very nice light switch. So do not remain in darkness. Flip on that light switch. What is that switch? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's no reason for anyone to remain in darkness. Simply chant Hare Krishna. And then you come out of the darkness. You come into the light of Vedic wisdom. You come into the light of Atma Tattva. Understanding the science of the self. That I am not this body. I am the eternal servant of God. His name is Krishna. And he has unlimited wonderful pastimes in that wondrous spiritual sky. Simply by taking shelter of this Maha Mantra, all perfection, all realization will come. But we have to make sure the monkey doesn't get in the way, you see. That monkey mind doesn't get in the way of the process. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
I wanted to ask, like these monkeys, and this mind, so maybe these monkeys are in Krishna's hands. They are acting in this way to teach us something when we become
slack.
Yeah,
slack. That's right. Yes, the material nature, after all, is the energy of Krishna. So when we become as Vishnujana Maharaj said, casual, you see, in our devotional service. We become too relaxed. Then Maya will come, you see. As Vishnujana Swami said, of course it's very good poetry in English, I don't know about in Lithuanian or Russian. Yeah, casual means casualty. In English it's very good poetry. When you become loose and not vigilant, then you fall in, you become a victim of Maya. What does Prabhupada say? To become Krishna conscious means to declare war on Maya. So when you're in a state of war, can you be relaxed? You have to always be, of course the soldiers do relax sometimes. But they post a guard also when they're having their entertainment. They have guards posted, you see. When there is warfare, you must always be vigilant 24 hours for the attack of the enemy. So, if we neglect to be on guard against the enemy, then we can become victim of the enemy. Sometimes the enemy can take advantage. It's like this place where I have my ashram in Texas. Texas was one time a part of a country called Mexico. It was not part of the U.S. But some Americans had gone there as settlers. But then they decided they didn't like the Mexican government and they fought a war of independence. They were greatly outnumbered by the Mexican army. But they took advantage of one day the Mexican they have a habit of taking a nap during noontime after lunch, siesta they call it, midday nap. So the Texans took advantage, and during their nap, they came running in and started killing everyone. Very low class warfare. So the Mexicans, they didn't properly guard, you see. While they were taking their nap, they weren't vigilant. These Texans, they might attack us while we're taking our nap, so we have to post some guards. They did not take proper precaution. And therefore the Texans won independence. Because the Mexicans were not vigilant during their nap time, you see. So the point is, we have to always be vigilant. Maya can attack at any time. Until we're back to home, back to Godhead. We are in enemy territory. And any time there can be an attack. Someone must always be ready. Always on guard. That monkey may come and steal your Mahaprasadam at any time. Next question.
Sometimes I become very much, I identify myself very much with the mind. And is there any way to get out of this situation?
Yes, we have a tendency to do that. If the mind starts thinking of sex life, we think, I have to have sex. And so we have to remember chapter 2, text number 70 of the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very excellent verse for those who would like to conquer that monkey mind. Apur yamanam achalat pratishtam samudrama par pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayang pravishanti pravishanti sarve shushamtim apnoti nakamakami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but can always remain still, can alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. As long as you have a material body, it is natural to have material desires. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's normal. But the self-realized soul, he doesn't identify with those things. In that way, he always remains on an equal, he always maintains equanimity or sameness of mind. Just like the ocean, there are millions and billions of gallons of water pouring into it at every minute. Especially during the rainy season. But does that ocean come up higher level? No, by God's law it maintains the same level. How does it maintain the same level? By Krishna's arrangement, there is a distillery in the sky, the evaporation of the ocean water, you see. As the water is coming in, it's also being evaporated. So, Krishna Kanda's devotee, his mind may be full of some, have so many material desires, you see. But because he doesn't identify with them, thinking, oh, it's just the mind, it's not me. And because he takes shelter of Krishna and of his spiritual master, those material thoughts, they just evaporate like water into the sky. If you think of a beautiful girl, wow, I could have sex with a beautiful girl, see? Then say, okay, evaporate. Vanishes. Or I could be a big, big, famous person that everybody worships me, you see. Just let it evaporate. It's not you. There's only one thing that can satisfy the self. Girlfriends won't satisfy you. Money won't satisfy you. Power won't satisfy you. Fame will not satisfy you. There's only, even cheesecake won't satisfy you. There's only one thing that will satisfy the self. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supasiditi. Unless one's devotional service is free of any material motives and is going on 24 hours a day, you won't be satisfied. So armed with Shastric knowledge, you see. You have to see everything through the eyes of Scripture, Shastra Chakshus. In this way, when the mind plays its little monkey tricks, you can just not take it seriously. It's just that stupid mind, once again, trying to play some tricks. I'm not going to listen to you, mind. The method for conquering the mind is a very simple method. If you want to hear it in one word, I'll give it to you in one word. Neglect. You just got to ignore the stupid mind, that's all. You take your direction from scripture, from guru, from Vaishnavas, sadhu, shastra, guru. That's where you get your direction. Not from that mind. In this way, just don't take that mind very seriously. Then you'll become a very advanced devotee. You'll become fixed in Krishna consciousness. And you will taste the bliss 24 hours a day. But as soon as we give in to the mind, the mind tells us, well, come on, I'll give you some quick pleasure. Come on, let's go. But then you find out it was a trick and now you're miserable. So why go for the cheap imitation pleasure, which is actually this misery in disguise? Why not be solidly fixed in pure bhakti? You see? And even though we're not there yet, we're struggling, why not stay fixed on the pathway of achieving pure bhakti? This is called intelligence. And this is what Prabhupada wants us to have. He said, in the presence of your spiritual master, you should always consider yourself to be a fool. But that doesn't mean you should act like a fool. So, any other questions? Yes.
Kaip jos toks mūsų draugų? Nes protas sako, yra ir draugas, ir priešas. Pats didžiausias.
It is said that the mind can be and is the worst enemy and the best friend and also. But if we always beat those monkeys, beat them, how will they become our friends?
Now you tame that monkey and make him your pet.
Ne, jūs turite jas prijaukinti ir padaryti naminio gyvulėlį.
You get that mind completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. When you have your monkey mind wearing tilak and chanting japa, then you know he's your friend. You see, if you train your mind very well, then you gradually become spontaneously Krishna conscious. You become naturally Krishna conscious. That's when your mind's your friend. When the mind naturally gravitates towards Krishna, you see. Then the mind is your friend. Right now the mind is pulling us away, you see. Why do you want to go to the temple? Come on. We should go to a brothel tonight. See, that's the mind, you see. gradually we have to conquer that rascal. Then why do you want to go with prostitute? She will not satisfy you. For a few seconds of pleasure, you'll be miserable. What's the point? Why don't you instead develop pure love for the Supreme Person? And then you'll achieve unlimited happiness. Bhayasparsheshvasaktatma vindadyatmaniyat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam asnute. You see? You know the Sanskrit? You don't know the Sanskrit? I'll give you the translation then. In this way, the liberated person is always in a state of trance. Enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he fully concentrates his mind 24 hours on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sukham akshayam ashnute. He enjoys unlimited happiness. So, any other questions?
How could we understand by which how can we understand that we are advancing or degrading in Krishna consciousness?
Yes. What is that? Bhakti pareshanu bhavo bhaktir anyatra chai shatraka eka kalaha prapadyaman nashu yatashnadashu shtushti pushti chadavshayo nagasam. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord and detachment from all material things occur simultaneously for one who is engaged nicely in devotional service. Just as eradication of hunger, satisfaction and nourishment occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in the process known as eating. So, if according to Bhagavatam, if you can understand when your belly is filled up, you see, then you can also understand when you are advancing in Krishna consciousness. During the prasadam time, the devotee comes, he gives you some prasadam, and then they come and they give seconds. But finally you say, no, I've had enough. Do you know when you're filled up? Does someone have to come to you and say, Madhaji, you must be full now. You shouldn't take any more. No, you know when you're full. You know if you need seconds or thirds or fourths, you know when you're full. Sama Bhagavatam says that in the same way you can understand when you are actually advancing in Krishna consciousness. By three points of analysis. Point number one. Are you developing feelings of love for Krishna? That's the first symptom. Symptom number two, are you becoming Krishna conscious? Are you becoming conscious of Krishna within everything? Within every sight, within every sound, within every touch, within every smell, wherever you go, are you becoming aware of Krishna's presence, you see? And the third item, viraktir, are you becoming detached from the material sense enjoyment, you see? If these things are happening, then you know you're advancing. And if they're not, well, you're not. But it's not for me to say, or for someone else to say, it's you yourself will know. Just like during prasadam, you will know when you're filling up, or if you're still hungry. But even if we're not very advanced, there is nothing to worry. Just like even if you're a little hungry, there's nothing to worry. The kitchen is full of prasadam, and soon there will be a big feast. So even if you're not feeling very advanced in Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya has broken open the, he has plundered the storehouse of love of God. And he is freely distributing those contents of that storehouse of love of God to all the spiritually starved souls of this Kali Yuga. So even if you feel, Mataji, that you're dying of starvation at the present moment, all you have to do is open your heart, and Lord Chaitanya will fill you full of Krishna consciousness. And then you will become truly advanced by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Shri Shri Nitai Gaurachandra Ki Jai. So are there any other questions? Yes.
I would like to take the shelter of spiritual master, and I think that you are the best spiritual master that I have seen before and now.
Yes. You're welcome. You take permission from your local leaders. If they feel you're ready, qualified, then Kedarnath Prabhu and Harikata Prabhu, you talk with them and see if they feel you're ready to make this step. And if they are, then you're certainly welcome.
Yeah.
And if not, then you're welcome to qualify yourself under their direction. They know you the best because they're seeing you every day. They know your good qualities, they know your bad qualities also. So I accept their judgment when you are ready. You see. But that's a very nice desire. I hope Krishna fulfills it as soon as possible. Are there any other questions?
Srila Gurudev, I wanted to ask, how can we make sure that we do not make mistake between the necessities of the body and material desires?
So we are not completely against sense gratification. I mean, you have to have some sense gratification to stay healthy. Certain amount of eating is required, sleeping. Even sometimes one may require mating also. In a certain stage in one's life, you see. So, and defending also is there. So what is the proper balance? That is his question. Prabhupada compares this to salt. If you don't have enough salt in your prasadam, it is not very tasty, you see. And if you have too much salt, then it is very unpalatable, you see. So you have to have the right amount of salt, not too much, not too little. So sense gratification is like them. You don't want to have too little, nor do you want to have too much. As Rupa Goswami says, niyama agraha. Not too much and not too little. So how do you find the proper balance? You have to be sincere about being Krishna conscious. It really all boils down to sincerity. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted, then worship me with love. I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So if you are sincere to become Krishna's devotee, the Lord within your heart will guide you whether it's too much, too little, or the right amount of sense gratification for you. And if you're not sure, ask the other devotees. It's much easier to be objective about somebody else than it is about ourselves. That's a fact.
faktas, kad daug lengviau būti objektyviam kito atžvilgiu negu savo.
Try to understand your position, how others see you.
Pasistengkit suvokti savo padėtį taip, kaip kiti jūs mato.
That is much more healthy than just I don't take anybody's input.
Tai yra daug sveikesnės požiūris negu nepriimti kitų nuomonių.
We should try to see ourselves through the eyes of how the other devotees see us.
Turime matyti save pro akis, kaip mato kiti atsidavę.
That will give us a much more honest, objective assessment of our position.
Tai mums suteiks daug tokia, kaip pasakyt, tikresnį arba artimesnį tiesai savęs suvokimą.
Yes.
Jeigu mes per daug priemam kitų nuomonę, tada gali būti problemų. Pavyzdžiui, kažkoks žmogus gali sakyti, kad tu vaiduoklis. Ir jeigu mes priemam, tada mums depresija bus ir panašiai. Tai kaip tai suprasti?
Discretion is the better part of valor. Discretion is the better part of valor. I don't know if you can translate it. The point is that we have to have intelligence.
Ir esmė ta, kad mes turim turėti išminties, intelektą.
The fact is, we could actually be right and the other devotees could be wrong. And if we're blindly taking their advice, then they could misguide us.
Ir faktas, kad mes gali būti kažkur tai teisūs ir atsidavę gali kažkur klysti, ir jei mes priimsim aklai jų patarimus, tai galim.
This is why it's very important to have a spiritual master that we can accept as an absolute authority.
Galime suklysti, todėl ir reikalingas dvasinis mokytojas, kuris būtų kaip absoliutus autoritetas.
And why it's important that we developed a mature vision based on careful study of Prabhupada's books.
Ir jis yra svarbus tam, kad mes galėtumėm tokį įgauti brandų supratimą, kas parašyta Prabhupada's knygose.
Because sometimes devotees do the wrong thing.
Nes kartais atsidavę daro neteisingus dalykus.
And one should know this is not right.
Ir žmogus turi žinot, kad tai nėra tinkama.
There's this interesting story in this connection.
Taip yra įdomi istorija šia tema.
Do you know the translation for con artist? A shyster, let's see. Someone who impersonates someone else and cheats you. I don't know what your language what that would be. Imposter? Imposter is a good meal. Anyway, years ago in our Brooklyn temple. One lady who was a professional con artist or an imposter. She told the devotees that she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune, that she would inherit the Toyota company, that she would inherit all that money. She was a Japanese woman, you see. And the devotees believed her. In fact, the devotees so much believed this woman that the temple president, who was a sannyasi, he thought this would be a great boon for our movement. I will sacrifice my sannyas and I will marry this woman. She was just like a prostitute, actually. But she had all the devotees fooled at thinking that she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune. She was treated like a guru. I mean, it was during the Bhagavatam class, they would fan her. During the class, she was sitting there listening to the class. They would fan her with a chamara was during the classes. It was really heavy. They really thought she was the heiress of the Toyota fortune. And she was having them offer eggs to Radha Govinda. And the devotees surrendered to it. Prabhupada scolded the devotees. Why? You know, why they listened to it? You know. So we have to be intelligent, you know. We shouldn't just be dumb, you know, dumb followers of what anybody says, you know. You know what Prabhupada told us? He said there are so many false things in ISKCON. Prabhupada said this. He was really heavy in the old days. Prabhupada said, it was always Prabhupada said. It'd drive you crazy, you know. You sit down with a little pile of chickpeas for your breakfast. And somebody would come and say, Prabhu, Prabhupada said only 7 chickpeas are allowed at breakfast. If you eat even 8 chickpeas, you will fall down and have sex life. Prabhupada said. It was crazy sometimes. The Prabhupada said things. You know, it was just crazy. Prabhupada said, if it's not in my books, don't believe it. So, sometimes it happens that some devotee thinks that he's the latest incarnation of Rupa Goswami, and he can tell you whatever he wants, and you have to accept his authority. So therefore, one should read these books very carefully, you see. Understand the Prabhupada Siddhanta. So that when somebody tells you some kooky nonsense, a ridiculous thing, you won't believe it. You'll know it's nonsense. That is Brahmana. Brahmana is not, he is independent actually. He is not dependent on anyone else. He has his knowledge, he has his realization, and he's a spiritually very strong person. Even if all the devotees in ISKCON bloop, a true Brahmana, he will not deviate from Prabhupada's teachings. Even if he's the last ISKCON devotee on the whole planet, he will never deviate. So each devotee should become very spiritually strong. And we can send you to some country where there are no ISKCON, and you can establish ISKCON in that country. Not that we remain addicted to sleeping in the morning program. You see? Yeah, we have to be strong, sense controlled. Yogis. Yeah. So, any other questions? Yes.
In Lithuania, there is some scandals going on, and the
in ISKCON or in the government? Karmi Society.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is a person, he has a daughter, and that daughter was ripped by some guys. And
Raped. Yeah, okay.
And he shot one of those guys.
Yeah.
So what will happen to him? Will he get any karmic reaction or something?
Yeah, karma chakra is pretty heavy, you know. But the question is, if someone rapes your daughter, do you get any karma? Did he shoot him dead, or he just wounded him? Shot him dead. Yeah. Well, according to Vedic injunction, if someone comes to kidnap your wife, you can kill them. That is Vedic injunction. So, you may say, well, but he's not following Vedic culture, so does it apply to him or not? If he was strict devotee and he was following all the religious principles, then there would be no karma whatsoever. But since he is engaged in all sinful activities, the question is he getting any karma for that or not? I am not Yamaraj. I cannot say. Yamaraj will make his decision what to do with him. It could go either way. I mean, he will suffer all the other karma. It could be that he, because it's a Vedic injunction, he won't get any karma for having done that. It could be. But then again, because he's doing all sinful nonsense, he may get some karma for them. I will let Yamaraj make that decision. Because that's his position. I'm glad I'm not in that position. So any one last question now? All right.
So when we're in a place or in a temple and we detect or we see that people are doing are telling stupid things and things like that, doing offenses, is it like we should accept it and we be quiet, or should we tell these people that they should do like this, or what is the position we should take?
When we are in a temple or in a place like this, and we see that people are doing some kind of mistakes and offenses, so should we tell them all these things, or what should we do?
Paklausimas toks, kad kai mes randame šventyklą ar panašioje šventoje vietoje ir ten matom, kad žmonės kažkokius įžeidimus daro ar klaidas, ar turėtume mes jiem jasis išsakyti?
That depends.
Tai priklauso.
On your relationship with them.
No, jūsų santykių su jie, su jie.
If you have a relationship where they will, if you can relate with them in such a way that they will take your guidance and appreciate it,
jeigu jūs, jūs, jūs turi tokius santykius, kad jie jūsų pataisimą priims ir
then you should definitely do them.
Tada būtinai turite taip ir padaryti.
But if it's just going to cause a disturbance, then you should better to tell someone else who can tell them.
Bet jeigu tai tik tai sukels dar didesnius neramumus, geriau pasakyti kažkam kitam, kad jis pasakyti.
Or if there's nobody you can tell, maybe it's better just to tolerate it.
O jeigu nėra tokio, kuriam galėtume pasakyti, tai geriau iš vis pakęsti.
Factually, the biggest problem we have in our society is the lack of loving relationships between the devotees. The other problems are secondary. The primary deficiency we have is the lack of loving relationships. So you want to deal with each situation in such a way to encourage the flow of loving exchange between the Vaishnavas. That's more important than other rules and regulations. First principle is love between the devotees. If that love is there, then you can tell them everything. If someone knows that you love them, and they know that whatever you tell them is a manifestation of your love for them, then you can tell them everything. Every detail. But if they don't trust you, if they think that you have some motive to exploit them or to present yourself as being more advanced than they are, as out of pride, they're not going to hear from you, and it's a waste of time. So first thing is try to develop that loving relationship. It's like I'm traveling all over the world. I go to many temples. And there's many things that are beautiful and wonderful in every temple. And there are some pretty weird things that I also see sometimes. One temple during Christmas season, they were putting a Santa Claus hat on Lord Jagannath. On the altar. Can you imagine how far off the track they were with deity worship? So we had to say something to them about that. But I had a very good, loving relationship with that temple president. For he could take it from me and accept that instruction, and this is not proper. So in this way, we have the most important thing is cultivate those loving relationships. And then you'll be able to point out discrepancies and they'll thank you for it. So our time has run out. Tonight we're having a program at the university. At what time?
6.
So everyone is free. Come tonight for the university program. We are going to bring light to the abode of darkness. What is the subject matter of my lecture?
Hare Krishna movement.
Hare Krishna movement invades the university tonight. Everyone come and be a part of the invading army. So we Achu Labai. Hare Krishna.